You ready? You excited? You ready for what God wants to do? Could somebody tell me what Chris has done wrong? Everyone's excited except Chris. Oh, well done, Tammy. Faithful friend. We are going to have some fun. Yeah? I might even tell you a joke or two. I mean, here's a great one. Did you hear about the vicar that was dressed in a gorilla suit? It was a blessing in disguise. I mean, they can only get worse. Let's stand and sing a hymn together and just begin to prepare our hearts to receive what God has for us. Prepare our hearts to let God speak. Prepare our hearts to respond to what God has to say. Thank you, Father. We can just come and be in your presence. Let's stand together. Thank you, Andy.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or man can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches the lowest head. The guilty prayer bowed down with care. God gave His Son.
Come into your presence because we're hungry for more of you. Father, as we spend this time together, help us to put our burdens, our problems, our rubbish down at your feet. And Father, help us to look into your face and receive your love. Holy Spirit, where there are anxieties and worries, we pray that as we worship, you will just come and pour your healing into our very being. Holy Spirit, keep coming. Keep coming. Because you are welcome. Amen. Amen. Just take your seats for a moment. Just to go through the notices. You should all have received, if you're on the email list, you should have received a list of all the forthcoming events. If you haven't, if you're not on email and you want to know what's going on, Sandy has a list. And so just to catch up with everything that's happening over the next few months, it's going to be quite fun, quite busy, quite exciting. This is just the start of it. There's lots going on, but please, if you can, make yourself available on the 11th, and you're able to help us, because on the 11th we've got to get all this out, we've got to rearrange the chairs to get more chairs in and so on. And if there's a lot of us doing it, it'll be a quick job and it'll be more fun. All right? And then on the 12th, in the morning, Steve will be taking most of our service, and then afterwards we'll be having a barbecue together. And if you have partners who maybe don't come to the church, it's absolutely fine to invite them to come and join us for the barbecue afterwards. All right? Just because it's a church thing doesn't mean they're not very welcome. All right? And then in the evening will be a full concert with Steve. He'll be doing the whole thing. And just encourage you to bring as many as possible to make it a really powerful evening. All right, that's 2 weeks' time, and then the rest will follow on. Next Sunday is communion, and as such, it will also be those who wish to contribute to food bank. You can bring your food bank gifts, offerings, and we'll put them down there. So that's next Sunday. All right? Is that all up to that? Good. Do you know, I played darts with a guy once, and I said, how do we start? And he said, nearest the bull goes first. I went, bah, he went, moo. I said, you're nearest. And then I got home, and Sherlock Holmes was crushing these oranges. I said, what are you doing? He said, deduce. Deduce. Juice. All right, I'll stop now. That's that he is smiling. Now, you know what happens next, don't you? That involves you standing up and you moving out of your chairs and you go and find someone that perhaps you haven't spoken to today or someone that you didn't come in with and just take 2 minutes and pray a blessing over one another. So that means you've all got to stand up, move out your chairs, go find someone near. If you don't know someone, say hello and pray a blessing one on another. Because the Bible says we're to bring our gifts, our blessings to one another. That's it. Lay hands on one another, pray a blessing on one another. You've got 2 minutes. Okay, should we start coming back to our seats? I told you, you only get 2 minutes. Amen. Never be sorry when you pray for someone. That's what you're told to do. The Bible says, pray for one another, doesn't it? Amen. All right, if you've got a Bible, please turn to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And we're going to start at verse 40. Luke 8 and 40. Now, when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She'd spent all she had on doctors, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she'd been instantly healed. Then he said, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." And while Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler, said, "Your daughter's dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She's not dead, just asleep." They laughed at him, knowing she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. A little word for someone in the church. Child, get up. So often we allow things to crush us until we're on our knees, and we're so worn out, and we need sometimes Jesus just to come and say, "Child, get up." My son was in his wheelchair for 6 months. Until one day God said, "Get up." And emotionally, physically, spiritually, I believe there's a word going out, and we're going to come back to this later, over the church, where God is saying to the church, it's time to get up. I want you to watch a video. I played it to you before. It's an old one. But then I'm old, so it doesn't matter. And it talks about so many Christians who are scared to try again. And after we've watched this video, we're just going to have a time of worship. Be comfortable to stand, to sit, to kneel down, to lay on the floor. But be comfortable just to be in Jesus' presence and worship him. All right. Thank you, Andy.
bird with broken wing locked up inside a tiny cage till the day I heard your cry and set you free. But as I reached in to heal the hurt, you fled in wild dismay. Now your pain has made you blind as you can be. Echoes in the distance are almost all you hear from me. Each time I speak your name, you flee away. While the agonies of mindless flight grow more than you can bear, still you think it's because of me you feel this way. Soaring far above the storm on wings spread strong and wide is the vision that you have buried in despair. You dash yourself against the stones, mutter terrified, when my love would heal your wounds and lift you there. Like a frightened child who starts away with every move, you want to trust but watch so fearfully. Everything you're longing for is here in my hand, waiting now for you to come to me. Soaring far above the storm on wings spread strong and wide is the vision that you've buried in despair. You dash yourself against the storm, but it's terrified when my love would heal your wounds and lift you there. Like a frightened child who starts away every move, you want to trust but watch so fearfully. Everything you're longing for is here within my hand, waiting now for you to come to me. Waiting now for you to come to me. Now for you to come to me.
Father, thank you that no matter how far we wander, you wait for us. We thank you, Father, that your love is such that as we come to you, we rush out to you. Father, even being able to call you Father is such an honor. Just love you. Just love you.
All come for you, our God. And however great you are, we know. But you want us to know you as Abba Father.
Yeah.
You want us to know that when we came to you, you made us sons and daughters, not strangers. Lord, who is greater than you?
Yeah.
No one. Lord, you have made us your family. For all who chose you, Lord, you made, as I say, as sons and daughters. And when I come to you, although I come in reverence, I can come speaking to the Father.
Yeah.
I wish I'd had on earth.
Thank you, Jesus.
Bless you.
Amen. Yes.
Bless you.
Yes, Father.
else is faithful? Who else is as faithful as you are?
Who else can we completely trust in every single way?
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, that I can call you Father. And thank you, Lord, that you count us as sons and daughters. Bless you.
Thank you, Jesus. Just being in your presence.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, God.
You shall have to be here. You shall have to be here. You shall have to be here.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open our eyes to the wonder of you. of praise. In fact, our words aren't really enough. You need even more. You deserve even more. We worship you, Lord. We worship you.
Just sung, Lord, I want to see you. Well, allow yourself now to do that. Stop listening to the voice that says you can't. Stop listening to the voice that says you're not good enough. Stop listening to the voice that says you're not as good as other people. And start to listen to the voice of God that says, you are welcome. Stop thinking about the failures and the lost battles. Stop thinking about the defeats. And hear the voice of God that says, you are welcome. Stop thinking about the times when you feel you've let people down or let God down. Stop thinking about the times and start thinking, you are welcome. Remind yourself that right now God has his arms wide open to welcome you, to give you a new anointing, a new love, a new intimacy. This is a new day. We're going on a new day, a new journey, and God is giving you a new anointing. So as we worship, do not let the enemy steal your peace. Come into Father's presence.
Fire of your intimate love as you.
Father, draw us after you. Help us to walk in your footsteps. Help us to go where you're going. Because loving you, Father, is everything. So thank you. Amen. Please take your seats. People sometimes get a little bit uncomfortable singing a love song to God. Well, one of these days I'm going to do what I did occasionally before. I give you a pen and paper and you write your own love poem to God. And then we'll put on some music and you sing it to God. And people go, huh? Especially blokes. And have you noticed how blokes never... Oh, we can't do love poems, things like that, until they fall in love. And then suddenly blokes write the most ridiculous things, don't they? But what did Jesus say to Peter after he denied him, after he failed him? What was the question that Jesus asked Peter was, do you love me? What was his commissioning statement? What was his release? Was the moment Peter declared, yes, I love you. That was enough. Days later, he's preaching and 3,000 people get saved. Because that moment, he realized in his heart, yes, I love you. And maybe something our church, not our church, but the church in the UK, needs to start to fall in love with God again. But that's not our theme this morning, in part, although it is. Our theme, our title is healing. And healing is one of the most controversial, painful, difficult issues in church life. Many, many Christians would be much happier if healing wasn't in the Bible. It would make life a lot easier. Because Christians have tried to follow rules and principles, and they've prayed, nothing's happened, they've got disappointed, disillusioned, and so although they will give lip service to healing, they don't really believe it's going to happen. We had a lady in our church before, and her favourite saying is, what can't be cured must be endured. And you say, well, that's a nice saying. It isn't. We're missing something. And what is the outward sign to the world is we have a God who heals. You know, when they lowered the paralyzed man down to Jesus, Jesus forgave his sins. And they questioned. And I'm going to paraphrase, but you can imagine Jesus saying, just so you know I can do it, get up and walk. Be healed. And the healing was a confirmation of what God had been doing. But if we take the supernatural, if we take miracles, if we take healing out of our gospel, we're denying something that's gone right throughout Scripture. See, we were created perfect. If we'd been in the Garden of Eden, we'd have been perfect. Some of you look at me and say there'd be an awful lot of work needed, but we'd all be perfect in the garden, alright? When sin enters the garden, thankfully God put man out, because if we'd stayed in the garden and we'd eaten from the tree of eternal life, we would be eternally in pain, eternally suffering, eternally with tumours and so on. It would have been hell. So God put us out of the garden, but from then on, our bodies, our physical bodies, became infected by sin, which caused sickness, disease, and death. And so from Genesis, all the way through the Bible, to the end of Revelation, there's a theme of healing. And if we're going to be the church that God wants us to be, We have to minister healing. We have to bring life to where it is hopeless. Now, people immediately assume that we have to follow the rules. And because Christians have been, forgive me saying this, badly taught, we assume if we do certain things, something will happen. And we've seen these, inverted commas, people on television, and they sort of put their hand on your head and they say, "Be healed!" And they give you a quick shake, and apparently that makes you healed. It makes you no more healed than my dog, who's dead. You see, that is not healing that is taught in Scripture. It's a cop-out where we hope we can get away with it. You see, if you come to me for healing, and I just say, "Be healed! It's your fault, go away," I haven't got any responsibility. Whereas my responsibility is to go into the presence of God, receive His anointing, receive the words of wisdom and knowledge and prophecy, which we spoke about over the last few weeks. So when we come to the healing situation, I'm already ready to minister healing. Let me give you an illustration. When I was 24, 25, I had a severe leg injury. I could hardly walk. It was really, really serious. I was off work for 3 months with this leg injury. How many of you would have prayed for me to be healed? Yeah, most of you, yeah, that would have been nice. The trouble was, there was nothing wrong with my leg. My problem was my back. I damaged the discs in my back, and the pain was going down my leg. So you could have prayed for my leg from now till kingdom come. It would have made no difference, because you were praying for something that was already fine. When I went to the doctor, and said, "I have a bad leg," and the doctor said, "You haven't got a bad leg. You've got a bad back." And the doctor actually ministered to the actual problem. Now we come to Christians, and we assume that we just pray. But I know of a man I knew recently. He'd been sick a lot of his life. He didn't want to be healed. You could have prayed all day and all night. He didn't want to be healed. I know of other people who cannot be healed because they're carrying unforgiveness and bitterness and anger. I know of people who are too scared to be healed. And so what you have is well-meaning Christians with bad teaching who assume we just come along and say, "Be healed!" And immediately it's all wonderful. It's not God. What happens in most cases, forgive me saying this, is you hurt people, you wound them, you disappoint them, and they die. Spiritually. Wow, Peter's getting really depressing this morning, isn't he? But this is reality check. When people say they do not want the Holy Spirit in their churches, they are saying they do not want God. And if we are going to minister healing to the world, we have to beg the Holy Spirit to be here. We have to welcome and receive so that we are ready to listen, etc., etc. So let's come back a little bit to our story. Both stories are very similar. Two people who are desperate. I can't imagine, I'm not a lady, I can't imagine what it's like for a woman to be bleeding for 12 years. In that environment. Because in that environment, she wasn't allowed to live in the town. She had to live outside the town. She would be shunned. She wouldn't be talked to. She was dirty. So she was always pushed out. You imagine this woman with her dreams and her hopes. I don't know, maybe she had a family, maybe she hoped one day to have a family. Suddenly, all of that has gone and is taken away from her for 12 years. Can you imagine what that's like? And every time she came near, people would say, there's so-and-so. She's dirty. She's unclean. That would be very nice, wouldn't it? Imagine, I'm going to pick on Sandy because she deserves it. Came in this morning, didn't say hello, so don't think I've forgotten. I'm joking. But can you imagine if Sandy's going down shopping with Bob and they're walking down the street and all she can hear is people saying, she's dirty. How far before you just say, I'm going home? The humiliation would be terrible, wouldn't it? This woman lived with that for 12 years. And finally, she's desperate enough to come back to Jesus. And I don't know how you are, but if I can imagine myself dirty and smelly and rejected for 12 years, to fight my way through a crowd to touch the hem of Jesus' garment, that's tough, isn't it? She reaches out and touches him. She's healed. And here's where we forget. Jesus says, who touched me? Because when you minister in the Holy Spirit, although it's the Holy Spirit ministering, you'll feel something going out of you. People say when you minister, nothing comes from you. Twaddle. Prophecy comes out of your mouth. Yeah? And when you minister for the Holy Spirit, things come out. And Jesus said, something happened then. Who touched me? And Peter said, don't be daft. Everyone's touching you. He said, no. Someone touched me. Someone touched me with a different motive. I receive. And the woman comes up and says, it was me. The final embarrassment. Because everyone's going, there's the dirty woman! Don't touch her! And Jesus says, you're healed. She stands tall and walks away. Then he comes to Jairus. This guy who was a leader in the synagogue. He was a religious man. He was important. Only had one child. And it wasn't a boy, which they should be. He's just got a daughter. So all his hopes for his future are in that girl. And she's dying. And he comes and he throws himself at Jesus' feet and he says, please heal my daughter, my only hope for the future. My only hope for a family to continue. Please pray for my daughter. And then it goes on a bit further and someone says, Jairus, stop bothering Jesus. She's dead. And Jesus said, just believe. So they get there and there's all these people wailing and moaning. I can't imagine what that must be like. If I'm grieving, the last thing I want is to have loads of people wailing and moaning. I think it would drive me mad. By the way, as a sidetrack, have you ever read in the Bible where it says people gnash their teeth? Well, can you imagine, right, if you've got a crowd of people who don't like you, and they said, to show we don't like you, that doesn't have much of an impact, does it? I think the right hand of fellowship would have more meaning, wouldn't it? I'm not pleased with you, Sandy. Anyway, so these people are and Jesus said, what are you doing here? And they said, she's dead. He says, you know nothing. You know nothing. Get up. Two completely different situations, but both the same for us as a church. Because let's get to the crux. The church in our country is currently going through the worst battle it's ever had. I believe the church is in a life and death struggle right now. I think we are so being attacked from outside and from inside. Some of the denominations, some of the rules they're passing inside the church are not of God. It breaks my heart. There's attacks coming from all sides. There's crazy things going on. And the church has not got the power to heal the nation because the church hasn't even got the power to heal itself. And so we have churches that are full of weak, sickly, dying people, and we have nothing to offer to the world outside. And we have to get back to a desperation point of saying, Jesus, can I come and touch the hem of your garment? You see, if I was to sit down with all of you and chat for an hour or two, most of you will have an idea of a dream, a vision, something that God put in your heart. Something you thought was going to happen. And for whatever reason, it didn't. That dream died. And as far as you're concerned, it's gone. Your hopes, your aspirations for the future, they've gone. And Jesus would say to you this morning, you know nothing. Stand up. The woman, 12 years wasted, she touches Jesus and she's restored. You see, that dream, that vision, that hope that you've been hanging on to, that has left you wounded and battered like a bird in a cage, isn't dead. You just need some healing. Because the enemy is trying to steal your identity. Let me explain. When I was in my 30s, I used to lose my voice regularly. When I was a boy, everyone else, their voices broke. My voice never broke. It sort of cracked around the edges. And for years, I was husky. You know, I told you before, there used to be the pop song, Elkie Brooks, Pearl's a Singer. Any remember that song? She sings it in a very husky voice. Well, because my voice was always like that, I'd walk into the classroom, and as my name was P. Earl, they used to say, Pearl's a Singer! Every time. That was my signature tune. But what used to happen was if I did things like five-day conferences, by the second or third day, I used to lose my voice. And you can hear on day four, I'm trying to speak like this. Terrible. So in the end, I went to see a surgeon. And he said, well, you've got some growth on your vocal cord. And you know, that's serious. And we're going to operate. But you might not be able to speak properly afterwards because of where they are. That's a worry, isn't it? And Dave, my friend Dave Spillman, the day before I was preaching in church on the Sunday to go to hospital on the Monday, and in the middle of the service I said something like, if God's telling you to do something, do it. And Dave just came up to me and grabbed me by the throat. And I thought, has God told him to kill me? Dave. And he said, Father, heal him. And he went and sat down. So the next day I go to have this operation, and the surgeon went down and looked, completely healed. Hallelujah. I've got to tell you something. I did something naughty that night. So I was in the ward, and a bloke was brought into the bed next to us. He'd been in a restaurant, and he laughed and thrown his head back, and his false teeth had gone down his throat. And he was choking on his false teeth. So they brought him in to take these false teeth out, and they brought him back onto the ward, and I couldn't resist it. I should have done, but I couldn't. As he came back, I said, hello, mate. Do you fancy a bite to eat? Anyway, that's terrible. So I then was told I needed voice therapy. So I went to see this voice therapist. And the first thing she said to me is, what do you do? And I said, well, I'm a minister. Oh, she said, maybe you should think about getting a different job. I thought, you haven't heard me preach. Then she went, she took me through all these things that were meant to help my voice. I thought, it's a load of twaddle, but you do it. And do you know how it ended up? One day she said, can you just lay on the floor for me? Okay, lay on the floor. And she said, you don't breathe right. Then beg your pardon. She said, you don't breathe right. I said, what do you mean I don't breathe right? She said, well, you breathe in when you should breathe out. And you breathe out when you should breathe in. What? How do you... I don't get that. What do you mean I'm not breathing right? I'm... That seems to be working. No, no, she says, you've got it the wrong way round. With your diaphragm and stuff, you're doing it the wrong way round. I said, well, what do you want me to do? She said, well, try doing it the other way. Well, I got the giggles, I'm sorry. Because you can't breathe out and then decide you're going to breathe out because you've got nothing left to breathe out. And you can't breathe in and then decide you're going to breathe in because you're full. So I'm going to... Oh, she said, I'm going to give you exercises to teach you how to breathe properly. And you think, well, do you know what? I've been doing this for 30 years. I think my breathing's okay, actually. I didn't go back. Point is, it was an attempt to stop me doing what I should be doing. Trying to steal my voice. Trying to steal what God had called me to do. And you know what's happened to our church? Is the enemy has stolen our voice. He's made us weak. He's made the church fragile. He's made us frightened. And because of that, like that song about the bird in the cage, that's become an image of church. We're great in church, but we have nothing to offer out there. And the reason is we are still broken, damaged, wounded and hurt in here. You see, how can we bring healing to the nation when we go out carrying our wounds? If my father, he didn't, my father was brilliant, he's my best friend, but if my father rejected me so that I carry the wounds of rejection, how can I minister healing when I've got the blockage of rejection still in my heart? How can I go and talk to the failures in the world when I carry guilt because of my failure? Because I've never allowed God to come and heal me. You see, part of healing, before we start talking about praying for the sick and so on, part of healing is coming before God with honesty. When that woman came and dragged herself to Jesus, she was being totally honest. No more hiding. No more shame. See, that's how the world wants us to be. If you look at the blind man, when he called out to Jesus, what did the crowd say? Shut up. Be quiet. Go away. You're a reject. We don't want to hear from you. But the blind man shouted out louder, I've got to have Jesus. And Jesus healed him. Church people, we've got to start getting back to God and saying, God, I've carried this wound, this hurt, this damage, this rejection, this failure for so long. I want to stand up again. I need to receive your healing because I need to be able to come back into your presence. And I look at people, I look at churches, I look at Christians, and so many people continue to carry their wound and try and heal others. Again, I'm going to give you a horrible example, forgive me, hopefully it'll help. If my body is covered with sores and boils, and they're festering, do you want me to lay hands on you? Not tempting, is it? But when you're carrying things spiritually that are festering, God says, I'm not going to let you pray for people because you'll infect them with the same filth that you're carrying. And so to heal, there comes a demand that we go and wait on God. Disciples. Before Jesus died, the disciples were sent out two by two. Do you remember? When they came back, what did they say? Even demons we cast out in your name. We healed the sick. We fed people. Even demons we cast out in your name. So they knew how to heal people, right? Everyone happy with that? So Jesus said, now I'm dying, you know what to do, off you go. Is that right? No. Although they knew what to do, Jesus said, you can't do it. Until you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And so, even though they knew all the mechanics, if you want to use that word, Jesus said, you can't go until you're full. And now that translates to us, where God is calling us in our new church, our new day, our new beginning. It's going to be exciting, but God is calling us as the founder members, and God is saying, you need to be filled, released, healed, so that you can begin to bring healing to the nations. And that's the start of a healing ministry. And the challenge is for us is to embrace the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Again. See, we had an amazing church. We had so many things happening. It was wonderful. It was brilliant. I messed up. I lost everything. Family, friends, people I treasured. Lost a lot. And I used to sit at the back of the church, two churches, and I'd say, this is okay, I'll just sit here. But it wasn't okay. Because there came a moment when God said, it's time to stand up. That moment came on a Sunday morning, I walked through that door, and there was a guy here in his shorts. Showed me round. And I knew this was the place I had to be. I knew God had something in store for this place. That's exciting, isn't it? But then comes the challenge. Because God says to me, you have got to stand up and deal with this stuff. So that you can start to minister again in what I called you to do. And some of us here, if not most of us, have seen our dreams and our hopes and our aspirations get squashed. And God is calling us to be healed. God is calling us to stand up and to start to dare to dream that dream again. It's time for us to say, Father, I need to touch Jesus. I repent of all the times I've given up on my vision and my dream. I need you now. You see, I want to be a church where people get healed. I've told you about it many times. But I believe in full healing, body, soul and spirit. And I do not want to be a place where people get healed physically and their soul and their spirit are still in pain. Because what will it profit us if we heal every man, but none of them get their hearts healed? And to heal someone's hearts, we have to live again the dreams and the ministry that God gave us. Bird with broken wing. Still trying to fly. The other day I came out of my daughter's house. Went to see the baby. Obviously the baby was very keen to see me. Because he spent the next hour filling his nappy. hadn't been for 2 days, and he decided my arrival was the moment to perform. Such is life, you know. But afterwards, I came out of my daughter's house, and there was a baby seagull. Obviously injured, because it was limping, and one wing was hanging down. I couldn't catch it. I couldn't catch it to help it. And all I could do, in the end, was watch this bird with a broken wing walk away. And for a long time, as church people, as Christians, we've been like that bird. I got hurt. I got wounded. People I trusted let me down. People I'd dreamt, and so on, and so on, and so on. And God has spent a long time reaching out, trying to catch, to say, let me heal that wing. Let me set you free. And that's what this morning's about. Is saying, Lord God, I come because I want to be free again. Let's just pray a moment. Let's just pray. Oh, Lord. Father, sorry. Sorry we gave up. Sorry we got tired. Sorry, Lord, we got fed up with being beaten down. Sorry, Lord, we got fed up with being ignored. Sorry, Lord, we got tired of being lonely. Sorry, Lord, we got hurt. Sorry, Lord, that in the end we became like a bird with a broken wing and we ran away. Father, this morning, we come to you and say, we are ready to stand again. Those hurts, those wounds, those bitterness, the so on, Father, we give them to you because we want to stand again. We want to live again. We want to dream again. We want to bring a change to people's lives again. So, Father, we come to you now. And we ask that you meet with us again. Pour out more of your Spirit that we will stand again. For your glory. Amen. We're going to sing a song. As we do, some of you, what I've been saying has resonated. You need to be prayed for. There needs to be an impartation. When that woman came to a desperation point, something had to come from Jesus. When Jairus' daughter was dying, he came out of desperation to Jesus. And sometimes we need to stand and say, Lord, I'm ready. I come. So as we sing, we're going to stand, we're going to sing. If what I've been saying has resonated and you say, yep, I should be prayed for, please come to the front and we will pray with you. But don't just go home and say, that was nice, it stirred something up. Do something about it. Because God wants to meet with you this morning. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Brett.
healing.